Blog Talk Radio.
I find myself in a lying den as a beggar with an outstretched hand. I find myself in a western land asking for bread from this honest man. And do not fear the lion's den. You'll be brought up to your father's land. And my cry along goes an ancient man to return to his promised land, going home again. Myself in the western train, here I am back again.
Yes, blessed souls, we're on the resting trail, but be of no avail, because we are blessed and not to never be disappointed to learn the fact that now you're connected to, we are all connected to Blog Talk Radio, and we humbly assert this is the higher inner frequency of Blog Talk Radio. We call ourselves Soul Class. This is Soul Class 701, Eclectic Teachings for the Ethical Thinking Soul. Blessings our Creator, Baruch Hashem, Shalom, peace, and bracha. Bracha's blessings upon the entire human family experience, all 7.6 billion plus human beings, blessed and anointed, and should not be disappointed to know and to show each one of us has a divine image. This is Anti-Eugenics Radio, the impromptu presentation. We'll address matters of business ethics and mindfulness of basic cognitive processing according to the inner dimensions of Torah. If you're walking away from your computer, you can listen on your telephone, 347-838-8669. Meanwhile, may the Eternal Creator bless and protect you and your loved ones. As we segue out of today's program's opening song, this is Lines End by the young, beautiful musician, Levi Rabin. Let's just hear the rest for 20 more seconds.
You'll be brought up to your father's land, and my cry is long enough, an ancient man, to return to his promised land, going home again, out of this lion's den.
Yes, blessed souls, let's return to the promised land of our potential as human beings. I'd like to start with a brief teaching. First of all, to remind everyone, soul, for soul class, is an acronym for S is 7-0, oldest original, U, universal laws, referring to the Shev Mitzvah B'nai Noach. They are, number one, not to serve idols. Two, not to blaspheme Creator, one of the Creator's names. Three, not to commit premeditated murder. Four, not to steal. Five, not to commit adultery. Six, not to eat the limb of an animal while it's still alive. And seven, to create righteous court systems to enforce the above six universal commandments, and also to promote charity, acts of loving kindness, proper educational systems. Well, a good friend of mine who is in the battle of his life to be restored as superintendent of the Hempstead school system, Reb Shimon Warenker. And you can learn more about Shimon Warenker's battle to educate individuals outside of his own culture base, because he believes in the fact that every human being has a Tzelem Elohim, a divine image, and is certainly worthy of a proper education here in New York State, and particularly in the Hempstead school district. If you want to learn more about that, you can type in 37%, that's the numerical symbols 37, and then percent, and then CBS TV or CBS News, New York State, and you can watch a 77-minute presentation and get a better understanding of what I'm talking about. Also, I want to start off, again, as a brief teaching before I made that little spontaneous injection. Aleph is love. the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Lashon HaKodesh, Holy Tongue. Beis is bracha, blessing. Gimel, the third letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Lashon HaKodesh, Holy Tongue, is gaiva, arrogance. And D is dalus, or dalut is poverty. So we see that love brings blessing, arrogance brings poverty, poverty of spirit, and can also impoverish a person, even on economic standing. May we be spared such type of suffering. So from a teaching from Aben Abachya, based on a verse that we'll be learning in a couple of weeks, we have the nation of Israel, and all people of the world are invited to learn this verse. Righteousness, righteousness shall you pursue. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 20. Why does the Torah, and this is a teaching from Rabbeinu Bachya, or Bachaye, in his work Kad HaKemach, in the section on Gezela and stealing, the prohibition of stealing, why does the Torah repeat the word righteousness? Because righteousness must be pursued both in our relationship with Jews and our relationship with the Bnei Noach, otherwise known as the world Gentile population, even those members of the Bnei Noach, the Gentile populations, who are still worshipping idols. Tosefta, on the Talmudic tractate, Bava Kama. A Jew who steals from a non-Jew must make full restitution. Stealing from a non-Jew, a Gentile, a Ben Noach, is even worse than stealing from a fellow Jew because it profanes God's name. If one steals from a non-Jew and subsequently denies it and dies, his death does not atone for him, for he has profaned God's name. Last but not least, for those eclectic teachings for you ethical thinking souls out there, from Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, from his classical work Sefer Chassidim, the book of the pious ones, teaching number 1074, Rabbi Yehuda wants us to know, this is a teaching over 800 years ago, but still this is a man with Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration. Never overwork an employee, whether he is a Jew or a non-Jew, / Gentile, / Ben Noach, Bas Noach. Such practices lead to a person's downfall. Either he or his children will be reduced to poverty. For example, if one hires a tradesman to do some work or a teacher for one's children, do not burden him excessively or make demands beyond the original terms of agreement. An employer should never stipulate that a worker produce more than he can. If one knows that a worker can walk a certain number of miles, he should not say, quote, I am hiring, provided that you walk such and such a distance, end of quote, knowing that this is beyond the man's ability. Even if a worker agrees, it is forbidden to impose a task upon him that he cannot accomplish or burden that he cannot bear. Let me ask an honest question, blessed souls. Whether you work in an organization that has a union or doesn't have a union, or you're an independent contractor and you're hiring out other people, or you are hired out by an independent contractor, how many of us feel, and I'm not calling for any sort of workers' revolution or insurrection, no, that's not the intent of my asking this question, but how many of you feel that you're being overworked and being nitpicked, being examined under the scrutinous eye of microcosmic overmanagement, not being observed for the good work that you do, but rather being castigated and being overtly and covertly insulted? Rabbi Yehuda Chassid wants us to know, blessed souls, that while there may be individuals in this world who are bearing this type of burden on their shoulders, there is a balancing factor. There is a corrective measure that is embedded in the creation, as revealed to us by Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. And of course, what our intent is to offer up prayers and blessings that those people who are in positions of management and supervision, captains of the industry, that they, if they are engaged in such perfidy and the undermining of the dignity of their workers by overworking them and not compensating them properly, that a ruach of tshuva, spirit of repentance, should sweep through them, and they should have the courage, and even if it takes the mysterious nefesh, the self-sacrifice, just as they are asking of their employees to sacrifice themselves, that they themselves should have the courage, as human beings with the empowerment of the divine image, to make, if not immediate, short-term and eventually long-term endemic changes within their respective industries, in order that not only will they be respected more by their colleagues and their underlings and those who are observing their actions, not only on a human level, but on an angelic level and a divine level, that they will see that this is actually the best process. Now, of course, this is not a door-opening opportunity for people then to lax off those who are workers, who are being contracted, subcontracted, or working for people even with their union benefits or non-union working scenarios. This group of individuals must put forth their full effort. So there's a symbiotic relationship between workers working properly and management managing properly. That's just today's brief insight I want to share with you and question, and I'm not proposing any direct solution as much as a changing of heart, a circumcision of the mind, a circumcision of the heart, that things are better for all levels of industry, all levels of labor, all levels of management, all levels of proprietorship, whoever is running a particular business. So now we go into the idea of being mindful of our cognitive activities, plucking inspirations from a Hasidic discourse, Atar Asladas, you were shown to know that the Creator is God and there is no other aside from Creator. There's a service that we engage in with our physical brain, blessed souls, that we can grasp and comprehend a godly comprehension, and to understand it in a way that our comprehension is very tangible, just as you grasp onto an object with your hand. And how do we come to this tangible comprehension? Just as, allegorically speaking, I'm holding a pen in my right hand. It comes to become much more tangible through the process of this bonenus, which is a cognitive form of meditation, an analytical means of learning more about and immersing our blessed minds into the Torah concept of divine providence. Divine providence as it manifests within each one of our blessed lives, and looking at divine providence as it pertains to all matters of the world. Ben Abachaye, who we mentioned earlier today in today's humble presentation, mentions that it is a positive commandment to be aware of the knowledge of the Creator, may He be blessed. But part of the idea of us knowing the Creator is also the knowledge that the Creator knows Himself in a way which is in a way that we as human beings are prevented from knowing Creator. Just as there are certain things that you know about yourself that no one else knows about you, how much more so there are things about Creator that only Creator knows about Creator Himself, the super being that none of us are privy to. There's a verse in Scripture in the book of Kings, the first book of Kings, chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. It's not by the Spirit of Creator, and afterwards there was a strong wind, but not in a strong wind as the Creator revealed, not with a great fire, because not in fire is Creator revealed, but actually the Creator can be revealed in a still voice. This was what was shown to Elijah the prophet when he ran from his life. I think it was Jezebel and her husband, after he defeated the false prophets of the Baal. So when a person comes to meditate upon godliness, a person can come through a tangible recognition that the Creator is everything, and nothing is prevented from Creator. What is prevented from us is knowing Creator as Creator knows Creator Himself. But this whole idea of us coming to know that Creator knows everything, and even in a way that we can't understand what He knows, helps us come to the idea of understanding the existence of Creator, the essence of Creator, that He is something that cannot be truly understood, even for us to make an estimation of how great the Creator is. As we of Israel make in our blessings, blessed are you, Creator. Bruch atah Hashem, nochach, meaning we stand in front of you, Creator. Elokeinu melech olam, that you are the King, our God is the King of the universe. Hamotzi, who brings out Borei, which means He creates. When a person creates, how much more is the Creator creates, he's bringing out. Hashakol, but Creator creates everything. What everything that Creator creates is a mystery to us, and that is part of our life's endeavor, blessed souls, to understand everything Creator has created. We're not going to get to everything that Creator created, but again, this boils back to, are we going to use our physical brain to understand that this is part of the process of getting a godly understanding of Creator? We're going to stop now, and we'll leave you off to think about these things, hopefully meditate about things, share this with your friends all across Facebook, all around the world. We're certainly welcome to more listeners. We've been, thank God, we've got an increase in listenership recently, and I'm proud to say that now we have the blessed souls of Cuba listening into our recent programming and the blessed souls of Haiti listening in. So two more countries in the Caribbean aside from Jamaica and Bermuda and the Bahamas. We're very happy to see that we have blessed souls listening in from there as well as the other parts of the world. We still want to penetrate into China, into Russia. Still haven't gotten there yet, but we have tapped into the Ukraine and we have people from South Korea. Blessed souls from South Korea are listening in. So we'll end off with saying, blessed souls, that we continue in our efforts in a manner of to do that which is truly good, because Ateva Tov Lahaiti, it's the nature of the good to do good, is the source of our goodness, wants to do good, and patiently waits us to activate all that actualization within ourselves. May this be accomplished in the way of Ahav Echad, one love, Gor Lechad, one destiny, Kulanu for all of us, B'darchi Noam, Darchi Shalom, in a pleasant, peaceful way. And we're going to end off with today's program by ending off with the segue ending music of our brother David Dome, who will help us get back home by singing to us, "Where Are You Now?" Where are you now as you're in Creator's world, blessed souls? Enjoy and have a great day.
take your anxiety and raise you to what matters is where you are.